take off your mask. Now, this is one of those sermons where you'll have to listen very carefully at the first part or you'll miss the entire sermon. If you don't get the story, then you won't get anything. But it is an unusual story, and I think a blessed one. If you'll listen, you'll learn some Bible, and you'll also, I think, be admonished from the Scripture. Ahijah is an old prophet. The years have taken their toll until his vision is completely gone. He's blind. There he sits, alone in his chair, seemingly useless to the cause of God, unable to see, unable to do much. Now, I'm sure that each of us has looked at someone like this and said, why doesn't God take him on to heaven? Why should a fella who's too old to do anything, blind by age, why wouldn't God be only fair if he took him on to heaven? Well, there's only one reason why God leaves his people here, and that is there's something else for them to do. You may have some loved one this morning in a rest home, senile, unable to walk even. And you wonder, why does God leave that loved one here? I'll tell you why God leaves that loved one here. There's something else for him to do. You say, I can't see it. You don't have to see it. All you have to do is believe it. There's something else for him to do. Now, here's Ahijah. He's been faithful to God. He's been a true prophet. Never did he turn his back to the enemy. Never did he trim his message. He's been a true prophet of God. But he's old, blind. God has one something for him to do. There's only one sermon left for Ahijah to preach, but he's not going to go to heaven yet. For God has yet one last sermon for Ahijah to preach. And who is going to hear that sermon? The king's wife. The king's wife. God leaves Ahijah. By the way, let me say this in passing. God has a purpose for your being on this earth. There is some reason why you are here. Now find it and fulfill it, for God has a purpose. You are left for a purpose. You are here for a reason. You are here on purpose. You are not here just to make so many dollars an hour and feed your mouth and take care of your own needs. You are here for a purpose. Find the purpose for your life and fulfill it while you are here. But Ahijah had one purpose. He did not know for a while, but God knows, and we know now. He was supposed to preach a sermon. Now who was to hear that sermon? As I said a while ago, Jeroboam's wife. Jeroboam is the king. Now here's the story. A child had become ill. Don't miss it. A child had become ill. Jeroboam says to his wife, disguise yourself. Take off your crown. Take off your robe. Disguise yourself as a farmer lady. I mean, carry the basket like a lady on a farm would carry. And put some vegetables and fruit inside the basket, just like you've been out in the garden. Disguise yourself. Jeroboam said, there's a preacher named Ahijah. I want you to go to that preacher and find out if the child's going to live. Now, the child is very, very sick, and we want to know if the child's going to live. Jeroboam the king says, one time before I went to Ahijah, and he prophesied and told me I'd be king, and he was right, and I have confidence in that preacher. I don't like him, and he's an old hard fundamentalist. By the way, any preacher worth his weight and salt's a hard fundamentalist. But he's an old hard fundamentalist, and he sometimes prophesies what I don't like to hear. But there's one thing about the guy. He's a man of God, and I went to him before, and he told me the truth, and I trust the fella. So he said, now, sweetheart, he said, you disguise yourself. Don't let anybody know you're the queen. Disguise yourself and go down and see Ahijah and find out what's going to happen to the child. And so His wife, the wife of the king now, she takes off her crown, lays aside her scepter, lays aside her royal robe, and puts on the garment of a farm girl, and gets herself a basket, and puts a few vegetables and fruit in the basket, and takes off toward the preacher, and to hear the preacher. Now bear in mind, nobody knew who she was. As she went through the streets of her own city, she fooled the people in her own city. And she went through, by the way, here's a strange thing. Why would she disguise herself to go hear a blind preacher? I mean, the fellow's blind. That's like Mr. Foreman in our church is blind. That's like Mrs. Foreman putting on another outfit so she can fool him. Well, he wouldn't know, and Ahijah's blind. Why couldn't she come with her scepter and crown and robe since she's going to hear a blind preacher? Well, I don't know. But anyway, nothing in the world does really make sense anyhow. And so she came, and here she comes. She walks through the streets of her own neighborhood. Nobody knows who she is. Crown is gone, scepter's gone, robe is gone. She has a farmer girl's outfit on, has a basket in her hand, some vegetables and fruit in her basket, and she passes by her own neighbors. They don't know who she is. She fools them. She passes through her own area. They don't know who she is. She fools them. She passes through her own domain and her own country. They don't know who she is. She fools them. She goes on down to Judea. She goes through the hills of Judea, and they don't know who she is. She fools them. She goes through Shiloh. They don't know who she is. She fools them. Here's the king's wife on her way to hear a preacher, fundamental preacher, who's blind. She's trying to disguise herself so he won't know who she is. And so she comes to the services. She comes to hear the prophet of God. Now I say again, why Ahijah? Why did Jeroboam choose Ahijah? You know, folks, you may not like a fundamental Bible-believing preacher while you live, but you want one when you die. I've often said a lot of folks in Hammond hate me while they live, but they call me when they die. I had a lady call me on the phone out in Highland. She said, Reverend Hiles, it happened that she was a Lutheran. Now, I'm not against Lutherans, but it's what she said. She said, I have a brother who's in the hospital dying with cancer. Would you go try to get him converted? Well, I said, sure I will. By the way, we did. And I said, sure I will. I said, where do you go to church? She said, the Lutheran church. I said, why don't you call your pastor? She said, he doesn't specialize in those cases. And I do. And every other preacher ought to, and that preacher ought to get right with God and start specializing in those cases. You see, the thing, I was over on North Side in Hammond. I've told this story on North Side in Hammond. This is such a perfect illustration of what I'm trying to say. Knocked on a door, a fellow came to the door, had 13 people in his living room. He had a little entrance hall. I came faced this way, he came this way, little entrance hall, and to the left was the living room. He had 13 people in the living room, they were company. And I said, how do you do? I'm Pastor Howell from First Baptist Church. And he said, yeah, I've heard of you, you fake. Now, I wanted to hit him right in the mouth, really, I did. Or get a nice pick and stick it in his eyeball or some other nice gesture. And he said, I've heard of you, you fake. I said, no, sir, I'm not a fake either. I said, now, I may not know what I ought to be, but I'm not a fake. Yeah, he said, everybody in town knows you're a fake. I said, no, sir, I'm in town, and I know I'm not a fake. And the folks started laughing. He is really putting on for the company. Yeah, he said, you're a fake. I said, no, I'm not. Yeah, he said, you are. I said, okay, buddy, you said that one more time, and you're going to have to put up or shut up. He said, you're a fake. I said, that did it. I stepped inside, got right in front of the company. I said, okay, we're going to find out whether I'm a fake or not. He said, how, fake? I said, okay, I'll tell you how. I'm going to put my hand on your head and pray God to kill you. If God doesn't kill you, I'll admit I'm a fake. But if God does kill you, you're going to admit I'm not a fake. He said, yeah, you're not scaring me. I don't have to try to scare you, brother. I said, you can't scare a corpse. But I said, you better get your goods packed because I'm about to pray. And I put my hand on his head. And I said, dear God, the God of Elijah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Paul and John the Baptist. I said, I pray now. He said, hold it, Reverend. Don't go through. I said, quit. Oh, dear God, I pray right now in the presence of these 13 people, this man who's defied your servant, made fun of your man. I pray right now. He said, hold it, Reverend. You ain't no fake. You ain't no fake. I said, you better know I ain't no fake. Ought to be a man of God in every town and village and hamlet in America. Everybody in town, though they might not like him, they don't want to get on his prayer list. Folks in town curse me while they live and call me when they die. And here's an old prophet blinded and tired and weary and worn through the toil of many years of prophesying the truth. And the king never did like him. The king never would come to hear him. But when the king wants the truth, he comes to hear Ahijah. And by the way, when you want the truth, just come through those doors back there and you will hear it. And so his wife, you know why I think she disguised herself? I don't think she wanted her tea club and her garden and flower club to know she was going to that church. Huh? Like some of you folks slipped in here and sat way back in the back so folks won't know you're slumming it. And so she disguised herself and she dressed like a little farm gal and put a basket under her arm and took off down to hear the man of God. So, here's a blind preacher. To me, this is so interesting. By the way, am I talking to somebody this morning who came in disguised? Am I talking to someone this morning who acts like a Christian and talks like a Christian but never has been born again? Am I talking to someone this morning who has the garments of salvation but not the real robe of righteousness? Am I talking to someone this morning who takes the Lord's cup and puts it to your lips once a month, and yet you've never known the pardon from sin and the regenerating power of the Spirit of Christ? Am I talking to someone this morning whose name is on the church roll but not in the Lamb's Book of Life? Am I talking to someone who's taken the cup of the communion but not the cup of salvation? Am I talking to someone this morning who walked to church like a Christian, had your Bible as a Christian, sang in the choir as a Christian, on the deacon board as a Christian, teach a Sunday school class as a Christian, folks think you're a Christian, but you've never known what it means to be born again? Am I talking to someone this morning who, like the wife of Jeroboam of old, came to hear the man of God with a false covering? May I say with the old prophet of old, take off your mask! Admit that you've not been born again and come in faith, in believing faith, to trust what Jesus did for you on the cross, the finished work of Calvary. Not what you have done, but what He did. Not what you can do, but what He did. Not what you could earn, but what He gives you in answer to faith, in response to faith. And be born again before you leave. And so here's the man of God, blind. Here comes in the king's wife, hypocrite, covered up, disguised as a farm gal, ashamed to wear her crown, ashamed to take her scepter, ashamed to wear her royal robe. Why? Because she's coming to hear the man of God. And so she walks in to hear the man of God, and I think this is so interesting. Here's the blind preacher. He hears her footsteps, and he hears the creaking of the doors that opens. And as the Jeroboam's wife comes in, she fooled the people in her own country. She fooled the people in her own domain. She fooled the people in Judah. She fooled the people in Shiloh. She fooled the neighbors, but she walks in. And the blind preacher says, when she walks in, these words. He says, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? Boy, don't you think that took off her wig?" She's fooled everybody between the palace and the front door of the fundamental church. And the preacher's blind. People that could see could not tell who she was. But there sits the blind preacher, and the door opens, and in walks this wife of the king, feigning herself to be another, dressed like a farm gal. And the blind preacher just hears her footsteps and says, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another?" Let me say this. You may fool your husband, but you won't fool your God. You may fool your wife, but you won't fool God. You may fool your Sunday school superintendent, but you're not fooling God. You may fool another, but you won't fool God. You may fool your neighbors, but you won't fool God. You may fool your children, but you won't fool God. You may fool your mom and dad, but you won't fool God. May I ask you this morning, have you been born again? Have you been born again? Have you been born again? If you say, "I belong to the church," take off your mask and get born again. But you say, "I'm a good person," take off your mask and get born again. But you say, "I belong to the Masonic Lodge," take off your mask and get born again. But you say, "I live a good life," take off your mask and get born again. But you say, "I've been confirmed," take off your mask and get born again. But you say, "I was sprinkled when I was a baby," take off your mask and get born again. Anything other than being born of the Spirit of God is a disguise that will someday be ripped off your face, and the real you will come forth. And so the man of God, blinded but discerning through the years because he walked with God, the man of God sits in the chair and hears the door open and hears the footsteps of the king's wife as she comes in to ask him about the baby or the child who was sick. And he says, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thyself to be another?" Hundreds and thousands and millions of church members walk through doors like these this morning and sit in pews like these and hear the Bible read and hear the preacher preach, who know nothing about the grace of God, who know nothing about being born again. Throw away your mask this morning. God knows in that day when you face God Almighty, you'll wish you had the real thing and you've been born of the Spirit of God. And so she walks in the room. And so the preacher stands to preach. And there sits the king's wife. Boy, I'd like to preach to Mrs. Nixon this morning. I'm just going to say this. I just tell her how my heart breaks because we're compromising with a bunch of convicts in China. Oh, my soul, my soul, my soul! What does friendship mean anymore? What does our friendship to nationalist China mean? Let me say this, my brother. A country, a communism, is dedicated to the destruction of free life and free people. And she knows no language but force. Now, you like it or not, you like it or not, but brother, the fella who put Alger Hiss on the run has done some changing since he got in the White House. And my heart breaks this morning. I mean it. My heart breaks to think that we would consider the recognition of a desperado, convict, godless, communist nation bent to destroy us. We ought to build us an army and build an air force and build us enough bombs to say, you keep your hands off America. God give us some strength. God give us some character. God give us some a willingness to say, we'll defend our shore. We kowtowed long enough to a bunch of SDS heretics and anti-American people that are being seen on our television stations and running down America and talking about the revolution. It's time we built ourselves strong enough to defend freedom and defend America again. God pity us. So she walks in, the king's wife. You don't like that? I like the story Dr. Rice tells about the Chinaman that was running from a lion. And somebody said, boy, said, you better make tracks fast. That lion is coming. The Chinaman ran, made tracks fast, and he turned around and saw that lion breathing down. He said, you like on the tracks? Me make a use of more. And you don't like of that, I'll make a use of more tonight if you'll come back. But I am... So in walks the wife of the king. Man of God stands up. Now, here's what the preacher does at the White House, or at the church the president goes. He preaches on the rich religious heritage of our nation. But not this man of God. He stood up and he said, Mrs. Jeroboam, you tell old Jerry when you get home. This is all in the Hebrew, by the way. He said, you tell old Jerry when you get home. Something for me. And here's what he said. I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. He said, I know you come, and you've come to hear good tidings. But he said, I bear no good tidings. I bear the truth. And that's what America needs, the truth. Whether it be heavy or light, the truth. Light or good, the truth. Dark or light, the truth. Good or bad, the truth. And the old prophet in his last sermon pointed his finger toward the king's wife and he said, the kingdom is going to be judged. Your husband is going to lose the kingdom and the kingdom shall be destroyed. But that's not all he said. He said the child is going to die. The child will die. Oh, you say, how could God be that way to take the child of a little innocent child of parents like that just because the parents are wicked? I contend, ladies and gentlemen, God in His mercy took that child. Let that child die now while he can go to heaven and be there forever. Don't let him grow up at the hands of godless parents like that. Let the child go on to heaven. God is being merciful when He takes the child of wicked people before he's old enough to know right from wrong so he can go to heaven as a child rather than growing up and becoming as wicked as Jeroboam and Jeroboam's wife and all the other wicked ones in the kingdom that would influence his life. And so the man of God, the blind old prophet, said the child will die. And he said, I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. And let me say this morning, if you are a hypocrite like Mrs. Jeroboam was, I am sent to you with heavy tidings this morning. I am sent to you with the tidings that you have to die. I am sent to you with the tidings that you must face God. I am sent to you this morning with the tidings that if you do not get saved before you die, you're going to hell. Away with this preaching from our pulpits that makes hell some kind of a nice, comfortable place that happens to be separated from God. The Bible says hell is fire. The Bible says hell is eternal fire. The Bible says men are tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever. And I am sent to you this morning to say if you're not saved, I have heavy tidings.
I have heavy tidings of a day when you must stand before God and look God in the eye and give an account for your soul. I have heavy tidings when God will rip away that mask, that hypocrisy, that membership in the church that you're trusting for your salvation, that communion you're trusting, that priest you're trusting, that church membership you're trusting, that denomination you're trusting, those good deeds you're trusting, that confirmation you're trusting. I have heavy tidings for thee. Someday you will stand before the God who made you and look him in the eye, and that God shall say, have you been born again? But you'll say, I'm a church member. But God will say, have you been born again? But you say, I'm a good person. But God will say, have you been born again? But you say, I did some good deeds. But God will say, have you been born again? But you'll say, I gave to the church. But God will say, have you been born again? But you'll say, I was a lodge member. But God shall say, have you been born again? But you'll say, I was confirmed when I was 12. But God will say, have you been born again? But you'll say, I was sprinkled as a baby. But God will say, have you been born again? And those things you've been hiding behind, that disguise that made people think you were saved, but you were not saved, God shall rip it off, and you shall be revealed. Take off your mask while there's yet time to get born again. God will take it off. God will take it off. And so what the prophet of God said was, Mrs. Jeroboam, you're not fooling me. You may fool your next door neighbors, but you're not fooling me. You may fool your liberal preacher, but you're not fooling me. You may fool your town, but you're not fooling me. You may fool your loved ones, but you're not fooling me. Come in, Miss Jeroboam. Why hast thou disguised, feignest thyself to be another? Now, let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. There's nobody who stands to lose if you're not born again but you. Nobody. You can say this morning, I won't hear that preacher. I don't like that kind of preaching. I didn't come to give you a sermon you liked. I came to, like a Ahijah of old, to say, I bear heavy tidings if you're not saved. I bear the heavy tidings of a Christless eternity. I bear the heavy tidings of a hell without God forever. I bear the heavy tidings of a judgment when you stand before Him. I bear the heavy tidings that someday God shall rip off your mask and show you as you are. I bear the tidings this morning that you've got to get born again, or you'll suffer eternity without God forever and forever. You say, well, I'll not listen to that. I don't have to listen to that. No, you don't have to, but you have to go through what I'm telling you is going to happen. Mrs. Jeroboam could have said, well, I did not come. I'm the king's wife, and we've had a chaplain in our pink house. And by the way, it's going to be that one of these days. And then a red house. But we have a chaplain who comes, and he never tells us the baby's going to die. He never stands up and says, get right or the kingdom's going to be destroyed. We have some good preachers back in our ministerial association that tell us good things. That I don't have to sit here and listen to that. She could have stalked out, but there's two things she had to do. First, she had to bury that baby, and second, she had to leave that capital because the kingdom's gone. Now, she didn't have to listen, but she had to live through what the prophet predicted. And you don't have to listen to me. You can wrap your robes of piety around you and walk out this door and say, I'll never go back and hear that kind of preacher again as long as I live. That's why you're getting it while you're here. You can walk out and say, I don't have to listen to that. No, you don't. I'll tell you what, you're going to have to face the hell and judgment I've told you about this morning if you don't get born again. Why feignest thyself to be another? Why feignest thyself to be another? Why feignest thyself to be another? What he was saying was, take off the farmer clothes and take off the... You're not fooling me with those vegetables and that fruit and that basket and those farm produce. You're not fooling me. Whatever it is you're hiding behind this morning trying to feign yourself to be a Christian, take it off. Take it off. Take it off. And come by faith and receive the robe of righteousness that God gives to all of those who end their own works and trust His works and what He did as a hope for heaven. And so this morning, as Jeroboam's wife of old came, disguised, trying to deceive the man of God stood and said, I bear thee heavy tidings. But there's one thing I can say this morning. I bear thee tidings that you don't have to bear heavy tidings. I bear you tidings as a way that you can go to heaven, and that way is by faith in Jesus Christ. All you have to do to go to heaven
You say, preacher, what church is it? That's not it. Doesn't matter what church. You can join all the churches and other churches. That's not the issue.
You say, whose baptism is right? That's not the issue. You say, well, what communion? That's not the issue. You say, whose?
All over town, folks say, the trouble with Ohio's, he thinks his church is the only way to get to heaven. They almost got that right. If they just added one more church that couldn't take you to heaven, then they'd be right, because ours can't take you to heaven either. People often say, Hiles hates the Catholics because he says the priest can't forgive your sins. If that's the case, I hate me because I say I can't either. No, the truth is, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Oh, once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is His Word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver alone. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus, everything. Are you hiding behind a mask this morning? Take it off. Take it off. Have you come to church this morning not born again? Take off the mask and come in faith to the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ and Savior God. I've been trusting my membership in the church, but I'm not going to do that anymore. I've been trusting my own good works, but I'm not going to do that anymore. Ask the average person on the streets of Hammond. Walk up and ask the average person. Young people, you know what they say, you soul winners. You know what they say. Are you a Christian? Well, I'm pretty good. I think I'll do pretty good. I think I've got as good a chance as anybody. Quit trusting your good works. Quit trusting your confirmation as a child. I was talking to a fellow the other day. I said, you've been born again? Well, he said, we call it confirmation. I said, no, you don't. I said, if you're talking about what I'm talking about, you call it being born again. Born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. Again, he said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Again, he said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. In other words, the flesh and the Spirit. You'll never get to heaven. You've got to get born again. Take off your mask. Take off your mask. Young people, you're not saved? Take off your mask. Adults, you're not saved? Take off your mask. Quit trusting your own goodness. Quit trusting your religion. Quit trusting your church. Quit trusting denomination. Quit trusting your baptism. Quit trusting your communion. And realize it's trust and faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross. And by faith, trust Him as your Savior. And you can be born again. Take off your mask. Let us pray. Father, strip us this morning to what we really are. Take off the garments of the farm girl, the basket full of vegetables, and may we see ourselves as saved or lost. Still the crowd, hush us now in this moment. Our heads are bowed in prayer, eyes are closed. No one moving, choir, you be very quiet too. Everybody's quiet and still. Now, I don't want to ask you this morning, are you religious or not? I want to ask you, are you saved or lost? I don't want to ask you this morning, are you a church member or not? I want to ask you, are you saved or lost? I don't want to ask you this morning, are you sincere or not? I'm asking you, are you saved or lost? As God looks down this morning to this crowd, He sees two groups of people. He sees those who are saved and those who are lost. The difference is not the church. The difference is, have you been born again? How many of you can say, preacher, God sees me as saved? Because I'm saved and I know it. If I died now, I'd go to heaven. And I know I would. Lift your hand, would you please, all over the house. You can lower your hands. You could not raise your hand, could you? Maybe you're like the wife of Jeroboam. You're feigning yourself to be what you're not. You're wearing the garments of a farmer lady, but really, you're a hypocrite. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I could not raise my hand, for I do not know that I'm saved. I do not know that if I died this morning, I would go to heaven. But I wish I did. I want to know. I want to be saved. I want to know that I'm saved. Preacher, I may or may not have liked your sermon, but I tell you what, you've told me the truth. You told me the truth. You brought me heavy tidings, but they were truthful tidings. And I do not know that I'm saved, but I want to know it, and I want you to pray for me that I'll be genuinely born again. On the lower floor, would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? On the main floor, Say, pray for me by lifting your hand. God bless you, little lady. I see you. God love you. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, include me in the prayer. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else on the lower floor? You want to know that you're born again. You'd say, pray for me. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? Who else would raise your hand and say, pray for me? Way up high, would you lift it? God bless you, fella. I see your hand. On the lower floor, who else? God bless you, fella. I see you. God bless you. I see you. And God bless the lady over here on my right. I see you. And God bless you, son. I see you. Who else on the lower floor? You would say, Brother Hiles, include me in the prayer. I do not know that I'm saved, but I want to know it. Lift your hand, please. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, include me in the prayer. May I see your hand? Back on my left. God bless you, pal. Who else? May I see your hand? On the lower floor. Quickly, would you raise it? Hurry. Yes, God bless you, little lady. I see your hand. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, Brother Hiles, I do not know that I'm saved, but I want to know. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? Why feignest thou thyself to be another? I bear thee heavy tidings unless you're saved. Who else would say, include me in the prayer? Lift your hand, please. Way up high. In the balcony on my left, the east balcony, you want to know that you're saved. You'd say, pray for me. Would you? Yes, God bless you, and God bless you. Are there others in the east balcony? Would you lift your hand, please? In the center balcony, you don't know that you're saved, but you wish you did. Would you lift? God bless you. Is there another? In the center balcony, the balcony on my right, would you lift your hand if you want to be saved? The balcony on my right. God bless you, little lady. I see your hand. Who else? The south balcony. Would you raise your hand, please? May I see your hand? Now listen carefully. Every head is bowed. This morning, you want to be born again. Now what must you do? Listen to me carefully. You must know that you are a sinner. You must know that you are lost without God. You must know that Jesus Christ went to the cross, took your sins upon Him, paid the penalty for your sins as your substitute. And you must rely on Him completely as your Savior and your hope for heaven. Would you, right where you are, say this prayer and mean it? Dear God, go ahead and say it quiet, silently, but say it. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus paid the penalty for my sins. And this moment, I receive Him completely as my Savior. Would you? Would you, fella? Would you, lady? Would you, child? Would you, teenager? Right now. All right. If you will, I'm going to ask you in a moment when we stand and sing to leave your seat wherever you are. Come to the nearest aisle, down the aisle to the front, and let me know that you are coming to Christ. Not to join a church, not just to get baptized, not to start a new life, turn over a new leaf, but you are coming and trusting the living Christ as your Savior and as your hope for heaven. I want you to leave your seat, come toward the aisle, down the aisle to the front, and let me know that this morning you're making that decision for Christ. But wait a minute. If you're not baptized, if you have been saved, the next thing you ought to do is get baptized. You come for baptism this morning. How many are saved and have not been baptized? Would you raise your hand way up high, please? All over the house, all over the house. All over the building, all over the building. All right, then you come this morning on the first stanza. I'll baptize you before you go home. We have the towels, we have the robes. All we need is you. You come. Then there are those that ought to join this church by transfer of membership. You come. We'll write and get the membership for you. If you've been saved, there's a way you can join. So you come this morning. Father, bless this invitation. May Jeroboam's wife take off her mask and cease to feign herself to be another, and face herself with reality that she's not been born again, lest the heavy tidings become realities. Speak to the hearts of all these dear ones, and may these aisles be filled. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In a minute we're going to sing. When we do, I'm going to ask you to leave your seat on the first stanza. The first word. Don't give Satan a chance. Listen, he's talked you long enough into sitting there in that pew or standing there doing invitations. Don't you listen to him. You say, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm going to leave my seat. I'm going to do what I should have done years ago. I'm going to come and get the real thing by faith in Christ.